Name. It is a beautiful Sunday morning to be together and worship the Lord collectively. For the message this morning, I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. I want to continue our study in the book of Matthew, picking up again here in chapter 13. This morning we're looking at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower that Jesus gave is a well-known parable. Jesus used parables to convey a spiritual truth. Where he would make an earthly comparison, he would take something. And in this story, he uses a farmer at planting time. This is springtime of the year. There's a lot of corn planters, a lot of grain drills going to the fields and planting seed. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 1 to 23. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And other fell into good ground, and brought forth 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That is he which receiveth seed by the way. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So the setting here, we have Jesus going out. We have the multitude standing on the shore, and Jesus is out in the water on a ship. And he tells them this parable. I titled the message this morning, The Parable of the Sower. In verse 11, Jesus refers to what is contained in this parable as the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And this word mystery doesn't refer to those things that are mysterious or hard to find. It refers to something that you and I would absolutely have no knowledge of had God not revealed it to us through His Word. Something that is completely hidden to us unless He comes and speaks. So what Jesus does in this passage is showing us and explaining to us why some people respond differently than others to the gospel message. You have those with a very cold response. Then you have those that have an excited response to the gospel, one that burns hot and fast, and it burns out quickly. Jesus outlines different responses of how people respond to the word. So this morning I'd like us to think about, how have you responded? How have I responded to the gospel? Or how have your children responded to the gospel? We know they heard, but what did they do with what they heard? In these soul types, there were three that heard, and two of those didn't benefit. They heard the scripture, they heard the good news, but the effects weren't good. Hearing isn't enough. It's something we learn from this passage. It gives us insights as to what is going on under the surface in the heart condition. You can't see my heart. I can't see yours. We can guess based on what we see on the outside, but I don't know what is going on in your heart like God can. God knows what is going on in your heart and what is going on in my heart. He speaks of it in this passage of the parable of the sower. And it begins like most parables do, with a simple story. And parables are often very simple. The farmer goes out into his field to plant the seed, not with the corn planter or the grain drill. They scattered seed by hand years ago. And this seed is scattered on four different kinds of soil. And as Jesus explains the parable, we understand these different soils are conditions of the heart that may or may not be conducive to the planting of the seed. The seed is symbolic of the Word of God. That is the picture that Jesus gives us. Verse 4, it says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." This wayside, this was like the field lane, the footpath along the edge, through the middle of the field. It was hard. It was a hard surface. It was compacted soil. It was compacted into a hard surface. And since the farmer is scattering this seed by hand, he doesn't necessarily intend for the seed to fall in those places, but it does. Some seed will fall in those areas of the path. And in the path is not a good place for that seed to make good contact with the soil. And this seed, as we see, lays on the surface, and before long the birds come and eat it. Verse 5, we have the next surface. It says, "Some fell upon stony places where the earth was shallow." It springs up for a short time. And we're not talking about an outcropping of rocks. This is stony areas across them. The rocks are beneath the surface. But it was shallow. The soil was shallow across the rocks. It wasn't very deep. So to watch him planting, it appeared as though he was planting on good ground, but underneath is rocky soil. I picture it maybe looking something like planting on shale, something like that. It says, when the sun came up. When the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. The sun comes up and it is scorched. If you think about sunshine, usually sunshine is a vital part to the growth of a plant. Plants need sunshine to grow. And sunshine will also kill a plant that has no root. If you have no depth to the root, the sun can actually kill it. Next soil type we have is in verse 7. It says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And lying in the soil, you also have weeds that reproduce after their kind. You have thorns, and these thorns, these weeds, pull nutrients away from the seed that was planted, and it choked out the tender plants that were planted. It's not hard to grow a good crop of weeds. Verse 4, we have the fourth soil type. It says, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. This is the good soil. Here we have a simple story about a farmer sowing his crop. But what does it mean? The soil types represent hearts, heart types. Jesus himself interprets this parable in verses 18 to 23. The sower is Christ working through his disciples to spread the gospel throughout the world. This message is no longer restricted to the house of Israel, but it is declared to all people. These parables illustrate that the church is the present day form of the kingdom. The key to interpreting the reception of the seed into the soil is in the term understandeth, meaning to comprehend by believing in faith. The unsaved listener does not understand and does not receive the seed, whereas the believer both hears and understands the message. And then as a result of hearing and understanding, from understanding, his life then produces fruit, which is evidence of a believer. We will look more on that here in a little bit. Right now in verse 9 it says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This statement that Jesus made goes beyond physical hearing and implies an inner spiritual reception of truth. This prompted the disciples to ask why he had spoken to them in parables. Before, he had used parables to illustrate his message. Now they formed the basis of his message. Disciples came to him and they said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he tells them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Cross-reference is Luke 8:10 says, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. The idea is that those who are open and sensitive to spiritual truth, more will be given through the parables. Yet to those who are not open, those who do not have, these ones will end up in an even worse condition. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They couldn't see with their natural eyes and hear with their natural ears. But they could not understand the spiritual teaching. They could see, but they couldn't understand. They could see and they could hear, but they couldn't. Paul also applies the same prophecy to the Jews. In verse 14 it says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." By speaking in parables, Jesus also fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, speaking in a way that the hardened would not hear. Excuse me. In a way that they would hear, but not hear, and see, but not see. For this people's heart is waxed gross. It says their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Those who do understand the parables of Jesus are genuinely blessed. And not only do they gain the benefit of the spiritual truth illustrated, but they also display some measure of responsiveness to the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells them, verse 17, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Many prophets and righteous men have desired. They had the desire to see and hear these things, but they did not have that privilege. To them it wasn't given. Not because God designed to exclude them from salvation, but because He, who knew all things, that was not the proper time. Now I want to look here in verse 18, where Jesus explains the parable. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one," and that's Satan. That's the picture of the birds coming and devouring the seed. It says, "and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." Remember, this path, this wayside, the path is hard. It's hard-packed soil. It represents what Jesus said is a lack of understanding that results in people not receiving the word at all. Then obviously Satan is free to snatch it away, not having any lasting effects in their lives. So what is standing in the way of this person understanding the meaning of the word? What is the problem that these people aren't understanding the word of God? Remember the condition of the soul. It's hard. It's rock hard. And that gives us a clue. The soul is rock hard. The Apostle Paul explains it further when he wrote to the church in Ephesus. Let's turn together to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." So when a person's heart becomes hard, it is shattering and understanding the word. They can't understand because their hearts are hard. They're not open. So how do you get a hard heart? Are you born with a hard heart? Not in the sense we're talking about here. Now let's turn to Hebrews next. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So how do you get a hard heart? The heart is hardened through sin's deceitfulness. Living in sin without a desire to change has an effect on the heart. It hardens the heart over time. Let's think about the potter molding clay for an example. Let's think of the Word of God like water and what water is to clay. If you keep water away from clay, it will harden. But if you keep water on the clay, if you keep getting it wet, you can mold and remold that clay. God's doing a work in you. Jeremiah talks about how God is like a potter in our lives, and he is shaping our lives. And yet, what is it that gives him that freedom to shape our hearts in our lives? It's the continuing to have water washing over our heart and accepting and opening our heart to it. Responding to the Word and keeping ourselves moldable. Allowing the Word of God to shape us. If you take that same piece of clay away from water for a period of time and you drop it, what happens? It's going to break. It's going to shatter. It gets hard and brittle. Here Jesus is talking about a person who loves their sin, will not repent and will not change. A condition of hardness takes over in their lives. And it robs them of their ability to understand and know the Word of God. And at that point, Satan easily comes along and snatches it away because their heart produces no environment for the Word of God to take root. Let's look at the next soul in verse 20. Matthew 13, verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. In this parable, Jesus helps us understand what is going on under the surface of things. This person seems delighted with the things of God. They appear to be doing great. But then when a challenge arises, maybe a challenge related to obedience to God, instead of applying what they know from the Word, they choose anger or choose to be offended. They give up. They're not a deep hearer. So you have the hard-hearted. They cannot hear the Word of God. Then we have the shallow hearer, who doesn't put the Word of God into practice. James tells us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the Word. Now what is the problem? It says, in the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the Word and he becometh unfruitful. This soul is a case of double-mindedness. This person has a foot in each kingdom. They hear the word of God, and they are good with it. They also have the kingdom of the world on their mind. They want to know what the word says. They want to know God. They want to follow God. But they also, at the same time, want what the world has to offer. They worry about things that they don't have in the world. It consumes a lot of their time and energy. Wealth is a very tempting thing in their life. They think about money a lot. God's word tells us to be careful about money. The Bible gives many warnings about money, but in their heart they want it. The wanting of things that this world has to offer ends up with the result of choking the word of God in their lives because they are so concerned about other things. Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, but they are not seeking the kingdom of God first. Where you see some element of the word of God growing in their lives, but it gets choked as soon as it comes up before it bears any fruit. He is a double-minded hearer who is interested in the things of God, but also at the same time is equally interested in the things of the world. Then we have the last heart condition. Verse 23 says, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some, and hundredfold, some 60, some 30. This refers to the person who is fruitful, one who produces a crop. It produces 100%, or it might not be quite that much, maybe 60 or maybe 30% of what was sown into their lives. This person allows the word of God to take root. It produces fruit. Jesus says some will bear than others. But are you bearing fruit? So I had to think, what makes the ground good? We know what makes the ground bad. He explains it here. Things like hardness, shallow soil. We see that as a reference of not putting the word of God into practice in our lives, where the word just sits on the surface of our lives. It never gets down deep. So you have this shallow faith that doesn't bear fruit. Then finally, the worries and concerns of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth. We know what makes the soil bad. The word explains it. Then we have the seed that fell on the good soil, and it's good. So how is it good? Why is it good? It's good because it doesn't have those bad things in it that the bad soil does. It's not hard. The soil has been tilled. It's been plowed up. This soil is not shallow. There's a good depth there. It's a good seed bed. It's been cultivated. This person allows and invites and gives God permission to work deep in their heart. They're willing to put the word into practice. Not just let it sit on the surface, but let it go deep. Psalm 119 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And as I thought about that verse, if you want to hide something, you wouldn't lay it on a rock. You'd find a soft surface, something that absorbs it and hides it. This soul is made good by the fact that they are determined to make the kingdom of God the focus of their lives, to let go of the desires of this world. Where you say, "I am committed to follow the Lord, my God, because that is the only way that there is going to be joy and fruitfulness in my life. To allow the word of God to change my life, to take root and grow and ultimately bear fruit." I believe we tend to look at this parable of the sower as a condition of the heart that basically characterizes a person's life. You can probably think of people that fall into the various categories we just looked at, the heart conditions. These are not just characterizations of a person's life, but there are these things that can creep in into our lives, even as Christians. As Christians, we have to let the Word of God come into our hearts. We embrace the gospel. We have opened our hearts to Jesus. There are truly good things going on. But that doesn't mean that at some point along the journey, other things can't creep into our lives. As a born-again Christian, I know that my sins are forgiven. But if we play with sin, it is possible to experience hardening. I read the passage earlier about the hardening of the heart. The passage was written to believers. When Paul said, "Don't live like the Gentiles who are being hardened because of sin's deceitfulness," he said, "Don't let that happen to you." By that he meant that it can happen to you. It's possible. So we need to be aware that this can happen to me. It can happen to you. These conditions of the heart that become unreceptive to the reception of God's word. It can happen in me and you. I can be hardened. I can allow sin to have freedom in my life at the point where it gets hard to hear the word in some respects. As a believer, I can refuse to put the word of God into practice in certain areas of my life, and I can become shallow in those areas. Am I putting, are you putting the word of God into practice in all areas of your life? Maybe you've met a fellow Christian who have seemed to have a depth of growth in a certain area, but in another area, they have no or little growth. They know the word. Maybe they have a gift of evangelism, of telling others about Christ. But then you look at their marriage, and you see it's not balanced, where he just won't put the word to practice in his marriage. Or maybe the marriage is okay, but the parenting lacks, where they don't apply the word of God in that area of their lives. So are there areas of our lives that have the inability to receive the word for some reason, whether it's hardness or whether it's shallowness, whether it's thorniness in that area of our heart, where I'm doing good in one area, but I worry about what's going to happen over here, that the word of God just isn't growing. It's being choked in my life. And as I studied this, I had to think, are there areas in my life where I have allowed some of these heart conditions to take hold of my life and affect my fruitfulness? Yes, there are areas I need to grow in. I don't want things in my life choking the word and making my life less fruitful. Because someday I will stand before the Lord, and he is going to say, "What did you do with what I gave you? Were you fruitful? Or how could I be more fruitful?" I believe if we ask the Lord, he will show us. My desire is to allow the word, to allow my heart to have a greater freedom to let the word of God take root and grow in my life. I want to be more fruitful. Don't you want to stand before the Lord one day and hear those words? "And faithful servant," where he says, "I gave you this and you produced much." I want to hear that. So what is the key to hearing that? It's good soil. The word is always good. The seed is good. There's nothing wrong with that. The seed falls that matters. So where is the seed falling? Where the seed is falling, is it hard? Is it shallow? Is it thorny? Or is it good? "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." As parents, you observe, or have you observed, what soil types your children have? And what can we as parents do prayerfully to encourage children? As parents, we have the responsibility and privilege to cultivate the hearts of our children. May the Lord add his blessing. Let's sing together.